Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll free, coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. A lot of outstanding resources there for you, archives and articles. And my, you can subscribe to my free newsletter. The feature article this in this week's letter is titled Things That Really Matter. So you can get, you if you subscribe this week, you'll have a chance to get that article in your email. I'm excited about having Governor Pete DuPont on the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first visit for him, but I hopefully it won't be the last. Many of you will remember him as he's a former presidential candidate back in 1988. He's a former state legislator for Delaware. He's as a U.S. congressman, he was as well, and also governor of the great state of Delaware for a long time. He's currently has a lot of different wears a lot of different hats, including policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis. Many of you, most of you, have heard his outstanding public policy minutes that on the radio that he does a lot, and I really have enjoyed those. Governor Pete DuPont, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you. And as you say, it is the first time I've had a chance to be with you, but I hope there are more. You have a good program and a lot of listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. And if on this end of the microphone, we're certainly going to invite you back, and I hope you'll be able to come back. Let's talk about free trade. My audience knows, Governor DuPont, that free trade is one of my hot buttons. If you want to get me riled up, you start doing something to prevent trade from crossing borders. I just keep thinking about something that Frederick Bastiat, that great French economist and comedian, I think of him more as a comedian as anything. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And I believe that that's the watchword for the 21st century for all nations. What do you think?
Well, I think that's got some truth to it. When goods cross borders, people gain. The sellers of the goods on one side of the border get some money, and the buyers of the goods on the other side of the border get a good product at a good price, and it keeps competition sharp within the country that the exports are coming into. And raises the level of the economy in both the exporter and the importer. So trade is really important, not only for national security, as you point out, but for prosperity.
Absolutely. And it's, to me, free trade is the key to having more peace in the 21st century. And so when the Bush administration came into power, Governor DuPont, I felt that the marketplace had a free trade friend, and I've worked with the administration on some free trade issues with regard to small business, and I've really enjoyed doing that. We've covered it many times on the show, the different free trade things that the Bush administration is trying to do, and then there's this, the steel tariffs, and this is an issue I know that's one of your hot buttons too. President Bush signed a steel tariff, and I'm watching him do that amidst all these other attempts to get the different free trade agreements going, and then he signs a steel tariff, and I'm thinking, President Bush, what are you thinking? And I'd like for you to give us a little bit of your perspective on these steel tariffs.
Well, first I thought I was very surprised when he did it, because there was no particular pressure. Certainly there was pressure from steel manufacturers, but there was nothing, nothing crashing in the economy, no pressure point that said we had to do something. So the president kind of did it voluntarily, and like you, I'm very strong supporter of free trade. And protectionism, and particularly steel protectionism, we'll get to that in a minute, is just a bad idea. It raises the cost of goods to consumers. It costs jobs in the United States. It does violate international trade laws, as the World Trade Organization has ruled, and there's more coming on that. Something has to be done by December, or we're going to get slapped with tariffs by countries we export other products to.
It's a chain reaction, isn't it?
It is a chain reaction. And finally, tariffs cost working people and companies a lot of money. And when you apply all this to the steel industry, we got about 225,000 people producing steel in this country, working for steel companies that make cold rolled steel and various products. But we have 13 million people working in steel consuming industries. Mm-hmm. And when you put tariffs in, people who work in companies that make hammers and bicycles and hinges and automobile parts, they really suffer. They lose jobs.
Governor DuPont, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. You know how this works. And we'll be right back with our new friend, Governor Pete DuPont. We're going to talk some more about free trade and the importance of it for small business right after these messages. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, and we're talking about protectionism, especially focusing on the president's ill-advised steel tariffs that that he put into place, I guess, about 2 years ago, Governor?
It was in 2002, actually.
Was it? Okay, so it's been about a year and a half or so, and
About a year and a half, right.
And I remember the numbers. I'd forgotten what they were, but I remember the ratio was way out of skew. You told us a minute ago that there are only about 250,000 people in the steel manufacturing business, but
right,
there are several million people in the that take that steel from wherever they get it, either U.S. or abroad, and they make products out of it that consumers and businesses use, and that number's in the millions. And so
yeah,
I'm thinking, we're protecting 250,000 jobs, but we're hurting. That's what protectionism does. It's not a zero sum game, is it? It always hurts somebody.
It always does. And 225,000 people making steel and 13 million consuming it,
many of them small business owners.
Oh, absolutely. There's a great many small business owners, and just to give you one specific, The study, after these tariffs went into place, 18 months later, the International Trade Commission did a study, and it cost about $390 million in lost wages and about $300 million in lost return on investment to small business. So it was a 1-2 punch when the prices went up, and there are small businesses all across the country that had to lay off people because their cost of steel went up, and they couldn't raise the price to their customers. And sometimes they had trouble getting the steel they needed because the tariffs skewed the whole market. So for small businesses, particularly for companies that, with 1, 2, and 500 people, it was a real blow.
Here's something that was in the Wall Street Journal recently, Governor, that I wanted you to comment on, that seems to take a different position from you and me. And the Wall Street Journal is certainly no friend of tariffs. There's no question about that. But here's what they said. Two official reports on the Bush administration's steel tariffs failed to reach any clear conclusion about the impact on industries, meaning not just the steel production industry, but also industries in general. And then it goes on to say the reports prepared by the U.S. International Trade Commission gave neither opponents nor backers of the tariffs, of the steel tariffs, a clear victory or defeat. But you and I knew I disagreed with that before they wrote it a year and a half ago when the president created the steel tariffs.
Well, I think what they were saying there, and the Wall Street Journal editorialized very strongly against, against the tariffs, but I think what they were saying there is when you add up the numbers, wages were lost, profits were lost, but the government took in some money from tariffs, and it's six of one, half a dozen of another. But the truth is, when you look at little companies, and Lamar Alexander, the senator from Tennessee, had a wonderful talk on the floor of the Senate about what happened in his state. And he gave all kinds of examples. A company called Arvin Meridor that made sunroofs and seats for automobiles, they cut 417 jobs.
Wow.
Because the steel prices went up, 30 to 40% up. And Minnesota, a little company that makes hinges, and they cut 30 out of their 60 jobs. Another one cut 40 out of 120. So when you come down to people producing things in local communities, tariffs hurt, and free trade's a good thing, and protectionism is a very bad thing.
Well, and Governor, here's a couple of scenarios. All right, here's a family in Tennessee, as you say, and pop or mom comes home and tells the family they lost their job, and they say, well, what do you mean? You know, you roll metal into a product over there. How did you lose your job? And he said, well, because the president created a steel tariff, and that hurt our business, and I got laid off. But then there's another family not far down the street who is in the food production business. Maybe they're farmers. And somebody there lost their job. And somebody said, why did you lose your job? And they said, because the president created a steel tariff. And somebody said, what's that got to do? What is you producing food or lumber or something like that have to do with steel tariffs? It's because of the metastasizing effect of tariffs on all industries.
Yeah, it bounces right through the economy. And my favorite example is, and this is a couple of years old, so maybe the number isn't totally accurate, but roughly speaking, when you make a hammer, 55 to 60% of the cost of the hammer is in steel. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is the handle and so on and so forth. So if you're going to raise the cost of steel by 25 or 30%, the cost of the hammer is going to go up, and that hurts the hardware store dealer that sells the hammer. It hurts the middleman who distributes the hammer, and, of course, it hurts the consumer who now has to pay more for a hammer than he used to. So it's bad all around.
But we now know that the steel tariffs caused other countries to raise other protectionist barriers in reaction to the steel tariffs, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely, and
that was the example I was given with the food and the lumber.
Oh, absolutely right, and the International Trade Commission has ruled. International Trade Organization has ruled that the steel tariffs are violations of international law, and the United States has to do something about them before December 31st of this year, or we're going to get some billions of dollars in tariffs on other American mm-hmm. products that we're exporting to Europe and Asia and so forth.
Governor DuPont, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, folks, right after these messages with more to come with our new friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'll learn to tell time in a minute, folks. I promise. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm only half dyslexic. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest and our new friend. He's not a new friend anymore, though. He's officially an old friend now. We're going to get him back on the show again another time. He's got so many things to offer us, folks. He's got such an incredible way of looking at things that are right on for small business. And Governor DuPont, I got to say this. I've been following your career for a long time now, ever since at least the 70s. And I've known about you, and I've enjoyed your radio spots that I miss now that they're not on the air anymore. And for all the service that you've given this nation, I just want, on behalf of my audience, I just want to say thank you.
Well, you're very kind. And, man, you must be old if you've been keeping track of me since the 70s.
I am a little bit long in the tooth. That's no question about it. Governor, the president, we're talking about steel tariffs, folks. The president's ill-advised steel tariffs and that are still in place. But when he did this, you know, my first thought was, after I thought, what are you thinking? I thought, well, maybe there's a national security issue here. Was that involved at all?
Well, there's some. There's always discussion that America needs steel production to support the military, and that's true. but you can do that without having steel tariffs. And I think the president had some political motives. He looked at the steel production states and said, you know, it can help me in West Virginia, can help me in Tennessee, can help me here, there, and the other where. But he's going to have to make a decision between now and December 31st about what he's going to do about these tariffs, so that on the morning of January 1st, American farmers, American airplane producers, American companies don't get hit mm-hmm. with tariffs in France and Germany and Japan and so forth. So the president's going to do something, and we're all holding our breath a little bit to see if he's going to cancel the tariffs, scale them back, or I don't think so, but maybe he's going to say, nope, we're just going to keep them in place.
Well, I just don't understand why he did them, and I don't know how he's going to get out of it right now. But the other thing is that allegedly the tariffs were put in place to give the U.S. steel manufacturers a little bit of time to retool, so to speak, and become a little more competitive. But what we found out was very soon is that basically they just their first action was to gouge their customers.
Well, the prices went up right off, and they went up a lot.
Before the tariffs went into place.
Yeah, they went from $250 a ton for hot-rolled carbon sheets to $350 a ton. That's a pretty big jump. But the president's going to take some action here, and I would guess he's going to phase them back. He doesn't want the tariffs put on by foreign countries on other products, and he realizes that, I don't think he's scored any big political gain out of this. The unions are all going to endorse some Democrat for president anyhow, so mm-hmm. I think maybe the president's going to change his mind a little bit, but we'll have to see.
Do you have any idea who advised him to do this? Is there any one person that we can blame for this? I'm looking for somebody to blame.
Well, everybody said that Karl Rove was the biggest advocate. I mean, that's what the New York Times said and what the Wall Street Journal said.
He's the whipping boy of choice these days.
He's always the whipping boy. I have no idea who the big advocates were, but I think maybe they've had a little experience here that's made them think they ought to reevaluate the situation.
Exactly. Governor DuPont, you are policy chairman with an outstanding organization that I've known about for a long time, National Center for Policy Analysis. Tell us a little bit about the NCPA.
Well, it's a think tank. That's the label everyone puts on it. We're interested in bringing out the facts on mostly on economic matters, taxes, Social Security, issues like that. And we do a lot of studies. We have a website, ncpa.org. We have a daily policy digest that goes out on the internet.
I get it every day.
Yeah, half a dozen good stories in it, mm-hmm. and we're free market people who believe that competition and private enterprise are what make America go forward and create the opportunity. And we do a lot of studies and on various topics related to the prosperity of the country.
Folks, now you know, listening to him, why he was a two-term governor of Delaware and governor. And by the way, folks, he balanced the budget all 8 years. Governor DuPont, thank you very much for being here today. Outstanding job, and we're looking forward to having you back on the show already.
Well, Jim, you're kind to have me. We'll look forward to the next time.
We'll do it again. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.